Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
It's my privilege this morning to introduce our chapel speaker. Mr. Andy Horner, in 1985, founded Premier Designs Incorporated, and today has given himself the title Chief Servant Officer. That's more true than you would know unless you would spend time with him privately. But Premier Designs offers a beautiful line of high-fashion jewelry. He founded the company on the belief that as creator of all people, God values every life. Therefore, Premier Designs seeks to enrich every life they touch and honor God with every business transaction that they make. Andy was born the youngest of 13 children in Belfast, Ireland. He grew up in Woodstock, Ontario, where he met Joan, whom he married in 1946, and they planned to live in the Boston area but ended up in Dallas, and aren't we glad? God has blessed them with 5 wonderful children, 14 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren. Through his testimony, you will catch a heartbeat that has moved many of us who have been in contact with Andy and Joan, in that their business is simply a sideline to help support their ministry. And it is a ministry that God has used around the world. Would you join me in welcoming a dear friend, Mr. Andy Horner, to our chapel this morning?
Hey, this is the day the Lord has made. Did you know that? I thought he made yesterday, but that's something every day is a day he makes, and sometimes we're to be glad in it. Now, as I come to share with you today, I want you to know a few things about me. Being born in Ireland, you know, God has given us the gift of Blarney. Now, Blarney, some people think is lying, but it's actually taking things that are not too interesting and just making them a little more interesting. And I've had to fight this all my life because my mother said, son, that's lying. And I told her, Ma, it can't be. God, give me that gift. Why would he ever give me the gift of lying? Now, listen to me. I've asked the faculty up here to faculate with me this morning. Faculate is an Irish old word that means pray. So I appreciate your faculation. Appreciate your faculation. Can use all the faculation I can get. But I want to share with you this morning some things that are... Oh, first of all, let me tell you. If God has called you to a ministry and you're here studying, it's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. But sometimes we get feelings and we live on feelings, and feelings says, boy, I got to work awful hard. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. And Satan is the greatest feeling designer in the world. And when he gives us the feelings of can't, so many times we believe what he's telling us. But we live by faith. And no matter what the feelings are, when we live by faith, we're going to find out by faith in God, there's nothing that you can't do. God in his calling never makes a mistake. And if I had the time, I'd share with you. For 40 years as a Christian, it took me to find God's plan for my life. Now, I brought my timer with me. Honey, where are you? Oh, 61 years ago, I'll never forget the day. That day, she asked me to marry her. I got, God forgive me, there I go again. It was a God thing. I wish, but you ought to read it. It's the most miracle of miracles. But what I want to share with you this morning in 20 minutes, a guy called me and said, I heard you're going over to the Dallas Theological Seminary, and I'd gotten a letter from this Kim, what's that girl's name? Oh, I've only known her for 20 years, but I can't remember names. She's on our board, our foundation board, an unbelievable lady. I've never been around, and you're so fortunate. No, I mean, you can believe what she says. But as a gifted lady and representing your school, she is Awesome. And we just love you, Kim, and thanks for serving with us and helping us as what God is doing. But she wrote me a letter. We have reserved 20 minutes for you. And I thought, that's a nice way of putting it. I said to my secretary, now when we write these guys, we're going to say, we have reserved. And ah, when two or three guys heard I was coming here, you said, 20 minutes for you with your Irish blarney? They said, listen, they're real strict over there on their 20 minutes. So I brought Joan with a big watch. Now, honey, 17 minutes. What time did I start? 2 minutes, 3 minutes ago. 17 minutes, I want you to wait so I can go to the close. Now, that's the first close, guys. Most pastors have three of them. And a poem. But I'm not going to have time for my poem today as I close out. But what I wanted to share with you was something very interesting. I'm going to talk to you about three words. And this is not theology. This is not the greatest thing in the world. This is not what you're... This goes back to what I call grade school. And I want to talk to you about this because as I share this with you and as we talk about this, I want you to know something. There's an awful lot said in the Bible about what I'm going to talk to you about. And I'm going to give you the three words, but I'm not going to be able to talk about all of them. But I want to just chat with you about one that could change your life. See, the first word I wanted to give you, and it's called love. And isn't it interesting, 1 Corinthians 13, you go to a wedding, they read it, we all read it. And it has some powerful things about love. And it tells us love and charity is the greatest thing. And it tells us no matter how great you might be, you can speak as an angel, but if you don't have love, it's like a sounding brass. And then it tells us you could move a mountain with the faith, but if you don't have love, it's not worth anything. Then it says you can give everything you have to the poor. And if you don't have love, you have nothing. So what I want you to understand, what I'm going to be giving you today is a theory on GNS, and a little theory about giving. And a little theory about serving, but basically the core to it all, do I love it? And do I love what I am doing? Because it's out of that love, God says, that is the most important thing that we might have. Oh, we can get a degree. We can get a become a great teacher. We can become a great pastor, build a great ministry. But without love, God says. So I want to speak to you about giving. And I want to talk just a briefly thing about giving. Giving what? Oh, I don't have anything I can give. Oh, giving what? When people look at you, what do they see? When people look at you, what do they see? Do they see you frowning? Do they see you looking around? Or do they see you smiling? So I tell Christians who have got nothing else, would you give a smile? And when you walk around, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, show it. Oh, I love Jesus. I never loved Jesus so much. But I just don't take it, you know. Listen, my dear friends, that's where it all begins. Because when we get into giving, we need to love to give it. And we're going to find that if you read the scriptures, we don't have time to get into them. Jesus self, he says, I love a cheerful giver. I love a cheerful giver. And cheer can not only be in your giving, it can be in your living, it can be in your walking. And what you say is important, but what you walk and what you live is so much more important. And when we give, and I want to tell you about a little lady that I met, and you heard. She's born in Ireland. She had 13 kids. She had a husband that is an alcoholic and eventually had to move these kids to Canada on her own to get away from that. And we had a scrub lady, never spoke on a telephone, couldn't lead in a silent prayer in a church. But I tell you what, she had a heart of giving. She is my mom. She gave away everything I had. I was in the Navy for 3 years, the Royal Canadian Navy, the fightin'est Navy in the world. We're all fighting to get out of it. No kidding. It's the honest truth. Lord, this is the truth. We sank more of our own ships running into each other. Really? Than the Germans did. But during that time, I was making $40 a month. And I was sending half of my salary home to my mom. $20 a month for over 3 years for me. So when I got out of the Navy, I go home. Hey, Ma, where's my money? Oh, son, let me tell you. Did you know Mrs. Urchin down the street? You know what? When she died, you know what her estate was? $235. Hey, she scrubbed at the hospital all day long. She scrubbed at night when I helped her. We cleaned apartments. We cleaned in. We were poor, but what did she give? When Joan got married and we go into that house, and she, if you said, I liked it, it was at your door. She would bake the bread. She would stop in homes and clean them for people who were unable to clean them. What did she give? Everything she had. We didn't have material things. We lived in a little apartment for 14 years. But what a giver. And her giving upset me a lot. Would you if you were a kid and you wanted some things and you give them all away? You know, I regret so much because I haven't got time to give you my testimony, but I got very upset with my mother, her praying, her Bible reading, and her giving. And when I joined the Navy, I left God and everything she had. But thank God, don't have time to get into it, but I'm telling you, I wish I had her back. I just wish I had her back and that she's in heaven today. But I tell you, she had nothing but gave so much. But I can't dwell on that because here's what I want to talk about. And let me give you the history of this. And it's serving. You see, my G and S theory is based on giving. God loves a cheerful giver. And on serving. 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 And if you want to be, and it tells you, and I've got a little handout, very simple little handout that gives you this theory. And it tells you, if you want to be chief, if you want to be chief, if you want to be chief, then be the greatest servant of all. On my cards, I've changed. I promoted myself about 2 years ago from CEO, president, to CES. John said, who promoted you? I said, I did. Why did you promote you? Because I just read it again. If I want to be the chief of everybody, I ought to be. Why do I want to be a servant? Servant is attractive. Servant builds relationships. People will follow servant. You can't serve without getting. And you can't get without giving. But we live in it today when the kids come by, they want to get. I want to get it and then I'll give it. Oh, Mr. Horner, what is your security plan? Security plan, kid, you're 21 years old. You might not live. What is the future here? It's going to be. I want to start at the top and I want to work my way down. No, this. I'm telling you the truth. Service. And let me tell you this quick story. The greatest thing. I'm 40 years before I discover, as a Christian, before I discover God had a plan. I had a good plans and I served the Lord and I did and everything. But God had a plan. And I can't tell you how I got into a plan that's got Premier Design started today. A plan that has ministries in 63 countries. A plan that has over 100 missionaries that we're involved with. And Joan and I travel around. And his plan. And I've been with Mary Crowley in Home Interiors for 17 years. A wonderful lady. And she taught me, build your people, Andy. Build your people. They'll build the business. She taught me God is in this thing. And what I learned from her, and when we started this, it became Premier Designs in 23 years. In the direct selling business, we are involved with direct selling. I have never, never, never talked about selling. I have talked about serving. Because serving without expecting anything back is one of the greatest, greatest things that God, that you could ever do for God. So how did it happen? Okay, Joan and I go to the mission field. Our daughter's in Bolivia. They are now in Ethiopia. But we visit around the world, the mission fields. We saw needs. And we saw the needs, and I had retired, 60 years old. I retired. Now, that's not a biblical principle. God, I was sitting by a preacher down at a meeting. I said, oh, hi, brother, where are you from? Oh, I'm a retired preacher. I said, you're what? Where did you get that? God didn't ever, I cannot find it in here when we're supposed to retire. So I have a change of direction, COD. If you're tired of what you're doing, call me. We'll change your direction. And when you mention retirement, you send me $10. Because subconsciously, it becomes part of your whole life. And you're going to find out it's mostly doing nothing if you haven't got something to do. Doing nothing is very hard. Never know when you're done. Did you know that? Really? I'm telling you the truth. You never know when you're done. Okay, so how did God do this? I decided I would come back here and we'll buy a company and we'll let somebody else run it, but we'll take the money and we'll send it around the world. Okay, we came back here. I got some lawyers. We went hunting. We went to one company and, oh, now listen to me, young men. We're doing this for Jesus. This is not for me. This is to support ministries around the world. And you would think, wow, what a plan. I'm going to share the Lord so excited about it, and he's going to open the doors. And so we go, no, that didn't work out. Second time, try it again. That didn't work out. Third time, wow, it looked great. And I thought, here it is. And Joan and I were excited, a company that was going broke, and we were going to take over and build it up. And we were ready to sign papers and went to the meeting. My lawyer called me aside and said, Andy, you can't sign those. What do you mean? We've been at this for 2 weeks. You can't sign them. They have never paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to the state of Texas. And you don't want to get involved. One night. Now, I'm very disappointed. How would you like to really do something for Jesus? And everything just gets blocked. You know, he blocks doors as well as opens them. Did you know that? And what happened? I'm in bed one night. Now, for a year, I've been talking to the Lord. He knows who you are. God, I can't do that. I'm not going back into that business. I had 40 years of it. I mean, 17 years with 40,000 women. No way. I cannot stand it again. Oh, man. And one night, I woke up. This is after all. And when I wake up, I'm sitting there. And you know, I didn't see any lights. I didn't have an angel appear unto me. I didn't have any big noise. It was dead quiet. But I felt something. And I said, as I was laying there, God, I'm not going to do that. Here's what I said. I can't do it. I was so burned out. I was so tired of it. I was so weary. I can't do it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not often have I had this happen to me, but burned into my heart, and I still have it there, God said to me, Andrew, that's me. He knows me. I've been waiting. Listen to me. I've been waiting 40 years for you to tell me that you can't do it. Now, let me do it. I woke Joan up and I said, hon, God wants to do it. And I'm standing here today to tell you something, folks. The Hornets may get a lot of recognition. The Hornets may get a lot of opportunities. But it's not about us. And it's not about what we've done. It's about what God can do. When I finally surrendered and said, I can't do it. I've been waiting 40 years for you to tell me you can't do it. See, the more gifts we have, the more talent we have, the more things we can do, I think God has a difficult time because we think he wants our gifts. We think he wants the things we'd love to do for him, which are good things, which are awesome things. But no, he just, what does he want? He just wants your life. He wants to do it. And folks, I stand here and I promise you, young men and women who are called into the ministry, there's no greater call on earth. Is there going to be times of doubt? Yes. Are you going to get tired? Yes. Are you going to wonder sometimes, is this really for me? I want you really to understand, if God has called you and you have that call, he will perform it for you. But the words I mentioned as I talked to you. And so we got into a service company and service. God has blessed it and blessed it and blessed it beyond anything we could ever do. And he gets the credit. He gets the glory. But it took me 40 years to find out his plan for my life. You wouldn't be in the school studying right now if God hadn't called you. But during your time here, there's going to be times when you won't feel like it. But don't base your life on feelings. But you pray, God, I'm going to study. I'm going to do everything. But I can't do what I'd love to have. And if you're going to be in ministry without love, if you're going into teaching without love, if you're going, even somebody may be going into vocational, a Christian lawyer, a Christian doctor, there's a ministry available for you. God has that plan for your life. Or when you get discouraged, just look up. God, I'm waiting. My time is gone. Ladies and gentlemen, you are recognizing a first. I'm quitting on time. Now, I don't want to tell you. Oh, thank you, brother. I really have had so many people challenging me. What I want to do is go back to that office and these. I told you I could do it. No, you can't. No, you can't. They told me. Honey, you remember what I did now. I quit early and got 5 more minutes. This is not my choice, right? Let me share with you. You get one of these on the way out. And this is kind of what we would call, but it's a little handout. And this is my little handout. And this is what I give to a lot of our leadership that I teach. We have 2,000 leaders in the company that have done and built. So many people God has given us. And it's called the GNS theory. And it just talks about the secret of giving. And it says that God, Jesus loves a cheerful giver. And it talks about serving. And it says if you want to be the chief of everything, if you want to be, you know what amazes me? And please don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. I get around a lot. I meet a lot of people. I've met a lot of pastors. You know, we have senior pastors. We have junior pastors. Do you know we have executive pastors? Do you know that we have pastors of the youth and pastors of the deal? Do you know? 3 of my favorite people in the Bible, first is Abraham, second is Moses, and third is David. And as I was reading the other day, it's the most amazing thing. The most amazing thing is this. When you go into Deuteronomy and you read in chapter 34, the last, Moses is dying. And Jesus says, then when you go to Joshua, it's so important. Verse 1 and 2, in there, he says to them, Moses, my great leader, Moses, who I met on the mountain, Moses, who brought out the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses, the most famous leadership in the world. Do you know what he says? Moses, my servant, is dead. And whatever you're going into, I pray, first of all, the love of Christ will be involved. Because if you don't love the giving, I'm not talking about your money. I'm talking about maybe it's your time. I'm talking about your love to others. And if you don't have love in serving, and I hope and I pray, I like to meet a pastor servant. And when God sends us to, I don't want a statue of nothing, but what a joy it would be. Never would I expect if you could just be called one of God's servants. So study the word of God so that you can rightly divide it. Learn all you can learn. But please remember what I'm telling you today. Without love, it's dead. And if you want to, without giving and having a spirit for it, not just giving of your material things, but giving of your life, and without serving, a heart full of service, you'll never really ever, no matter how big that church gets, no matter how wonderful things are, without, and as you know, 1 Corinthians 13, abiding in faith to move a mountain. Oh, yeah. Hope, which I is awesome in America today. People living in fear, they need hope. I would have thought God said hope. No, but he said the greatest of these, charity, is love. The love of Christ. Does it shine through you? What do people see when they see you? Do they like to be with you? Do you attract them or do you distract? Are you so spiritual and so religious that they can't get near you? Hey, God made you unique. There's nobody in the world like you. He knows you. He'll be with you. And you can depend on him. I promise you, in my 83 years, he's been so good. When I've been so bad, to see me through. And what he's done, ladies and gentlemen, kids, gals, whoever you are, he'll do it for you. Just stay close to him. Just don't ever worry. Be sure. Be sure that he's the part of everything you do in your life. God bless you. Love you all. Thank you.